a man's gift to maketh room for him, and bringeth him before great men. It's an interesting principle, an interesting reality in ordinary things, in earthly things, that teaches what everything in the Scripture teaches, the gospel of our Savior. There's no room for an ordinary man at the table of a wealthy or powerful man unless, this is the essence of what our verse teaches, there's room for you and you can come before them if you have what they want. What does a wealthy man want? More wealth. A great king or a prince is not going to make time for the likes of you unless you have what they want. And it boils down to money, as our Lord summed it up. You can't serve God and money, mammon, gain. You can call it what you want, but that's what it boils down to. And this has always been true. It's true now, and it always will be, as long as this world stands. It's going to take giving somebody what they want if you're going to have any standing with them whatsoever. So the question is, who do you want an audience with? Who is it important for you to stand before? If you want to see your favorite music star up close, that'll be an extra hundo or two. No problem. Backstage pass. You want to have dinner with a powerful politician? $1,000 a plate. No problem. But if you happen to be interested in coming before the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory, the one who created everything, the one who owns everything, the one who controls everything, the one who gives eternal life to whomsoever he will, what are you going to bring to him? What gift would he want? What does God want? Well, there are two answers to that, and the reason there's two answers to that is that if you're going to ever have any hope of coming before the God of heaven and earth, someone else must also come before him, before you, for you. It's the only way to see God. There's one God and there's one mediator between God and men. That's the man Christ Jesus. You're not coming before him unless there's a forerunner. The one who must come as your forerunner must have something to offer. There's something God wants, and he gets what he wants. In order to make room for you there, he must have what God wants. And God, the only things that God wants from on the authority of Scriptures, I can tell you what God wants. It's clear all through the Scriptures. He wants justice. He wants glory. He's going to get glory one way or the other now. He wants perfect obedience. There ain't no good outweighing bad. There ain't no did my best. He wants perfect obedience. And he wants satisfaction for sin. That's what God wants. You mark it down. You don't need to mark it down. God already did. Read this book. That's what God wants. And the reason that someone must go before you is that you don't have what God wants. You just don't have it. You don't have any of it. You can't provide justice. Justice is not done with you. Glory Well, I'm going to give God glory. That's fine. That's scriptural language. But you need to understand, you don't have any glory to give him. You're just attributing glory unto him when you give him glory. Perfect obedience. Can't cut it. You're not going to have it. And satisfaction for sin. You've got no way to pay your sin debt. It's infinite. And so that's why there are two answers to this. That's why there must be two. If you're going to ever have an audience with God, if you're ever going to come into his presence, then it can't be just you. You don't have what he wants. You can't produce it. In fact, you are the antithesis of what he wants. The only one who has what God wants is God's Son. And another way to say that, and a good way to say that, is simply this. The only thing that has what God wants is God. The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what will Christ bring before God that will satisfy his justice, that will satisfy his wrath against my sin, that will epitomize perfect obedience unto him, and will infinitely exalt and display his great glory? What is it that satisfies all of the wants of God? Just one thing. One gift, one offering. His own precious sin-cleansing blood. God is glorified nowhere like at Calvary. His justice is satisfied at Calvary. And bless God, there's one more thing that God wants. There's one more thing he wants. And it's really the same thing. That which glorifies him, that which puts on display his satisfaction of his own justice, that which is the very definition of satisfaction for sin, of propitiation, of atonement. That which brings him the ultimate glory. God wants sinners to be saved. And that happens the same way by his precious blood. That's what's accomplished. In satisfying all of those wants of God, it satisfies his purpose for having a universe. He has a universe because he has a people. And he will have mercy on whom he will. He is love. And love not expressed, love not satisfied, is not love. The blood of God's own Son makes room for us at the table of grace and brings us before the presence of his great glory with exceeding joy. That's how room is made for you. That's how you get an audience with the King. He gets what he wants. And that's how. Why would the Holy God have any use for me or give me the time of day? Why would he not, in fact, throw me in hell where I belong? That's where we all belong. You don't have to take too long a look at us to realize that. We ought to go to hell. If you don't understand that, you've just never taken a good long look at yourself in the light of God's Word, in the light of reality. Why don't he just toss us in hell and be done with it? Because the God-man's gift has made room for us and has brought us before the King of Glory. Our precious Savior suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust. Why? That he might bring us to God. That there might be room for us. That we might have an audience with the King. I'll to the gracious King approach, whose scepter mercy gives. Perhaps he will receive my touch, and then the sinner lives. I can but perish if I go. I am resolved to try, for if I stay away, I know I must forever die. And he does receive our touch because of Christ and what he did for us, and him entering into the presence of God as our forerunner. So when we come before God, what do we bring? What else is there? What's left to bring? Remember Isaiah 55, 1 through 7? If you're thirsty, come. Come to the waters. And we're told in the context of that, if you want to jot that down, Isaiah 55, 1 through 7, in the context, we're told what it means to come to the waters. Talking about the water of life. Because it says in that context, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. That's what it is to come to the waters. It's to come to the Savior. How are you going to come? Without money and without price. If you try to add anything, your service, your works, your aisle walking, your decision, your religion, then you're a traitor to the God of heaven and earth. You've trampled underfoot the blood of Christ. You've said, that's not enough, but I've got this. God's lamb didn't mean anything to Cain. But look at the produce that I've produced. Listen to Psalm 34:18. The Lord is nigh unto them. How are you going to come into his presence? He's going to come to you first. That's how. If Christ has gone into his presence for you, then you've already come to God in Christ. And he's going to come to you now. And he's nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. In other words, he doesn't save people who have something to offer to him. He saves people that need something from him. They've got a broken heart. They're in the dust before God. And it says, those that are of a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. He's not going to say, what's he doing coming into my presence? He's not going to say, I've got no time for that. He cometh nigh unto such. You see, when a sinner comes before God, it's you that are in want, not him. He's already satisfied. We need to understand this. The Lord Jesus Christ is salvation. He's the one that saved us on Calvary. When he shed his precious blood for you, you were saved. When you hear the gospel and believe, you're just finding out about it. He's not trying to get you to do something for him. He's telling you what he's done for you. God is satisfied. You don't need to bring anything. In fact, you must not bring anything. You're in need, not him. You need a new heart. You need to be fixed. You need your sins put away. You need perfect righteousness before him. God is already satisfied in all of that, not by you, but for you, by Christ. If you come to him, if you believe on him, not on the condition that you believe on him, But that's how you know. Chris, am I one of the elect? Do you believe on Christ? Then he loved you before you ever walked this earth. Before your first cry. Christ's coming before God for you, and his gift and sacrifice is so perfect and pleasing unto God that though you're not even looking for God, he's looking for you. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. He seeks you first. He comes to you first because Christ came unto God and we by him. Because you were his, because you were bought with the precious blood of his son, your coming before God actually was Christ coming before God for you. Think about this now. Turn with me to a couple of scriptures and Hebrews 6:19. Let's look at Hebrews 6:19. Hebrews 6:19, which hope, and he's talking about, of course, the hope of salvation, the hope of coming before God and being accepted of God, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. It's an unmovable hope. It's a reliable hope. It's an unfailing hope because, look, and which entereth into that within the veil. That's the hope that we have, is to come into the very presence of God. The veil was that which covered the most holy place in the tabernacle where the very presence of God dwelt on the mercy seat. And he communed with sinners there. And he was atoned for sin. There was atonement for sin between God and the sinner by the blood on the mercy seat. That's the veil he's talking about. We get in there. We go inside with the high priest because the high priest went in for us. Not without blood. Whether the forerunner is for us entered. Verse 20. Even Jesus made an high priest. We've got to understand what a high priest is. He makes atonement for Israel, for the elect of God, by the blood of God's sacrifice, brought within that veil into the most holy place and offered there on the mercy seat. The blood is Christ. The high priest is Christ. The mercy seat is Christ. And Christ, our forerunner, entered in. We get in the veil because he went in before us. Even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's a high priest without beginning of days or end of days. Turn with me to John 14:5. Just a couple of scriptures in closing. This is what How do we get an audience with God? What's going to bring us before the great King? How is there going to be room for us there? John 14:5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, don't picture that, and I always did when I was younger, as Christ being the way. He's the road to God. That's not what that's saying. You look at the context of it, and look at this particular truth throughout Scripture. No man cometh unto the Father but this way, by me going to the Father. That whole context is him saying, I've got to go. I'm going unto my Father. Why? Because that's how I go to the Father. In my representative. You see the difference? I don't go just by way of Christ. I go by Christ going as my representative. That's me going to God in Him. And then we come to God. Eventually, we're going to meet Him in the air, and we're going to forever be with our Lord. But me going before God in sinless perfection and holiness, that's already happened. He calls us His glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. How does that happen? By me walking down an aisle? No. By the Son of God going into the very Holy of Holies, not made with hands, as my representative, as my high priest, and offering His own precious blood for me. That's what the publican was saying. God, be propitious to me on the mercy seat. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. So our text stands true in the truest way. The only way we get to come before God is if we have what God wants. And in Christ Jesus, we do. We do. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. That word now is what we're doing here. That's why we have church. Glory be unto Him now. He's glorified in that we bear fruit. How are we going to do that? Except you abide in the vine. If you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. He's glorified in the salvation of sinners. How's that going to happen? By the preaching of the gospel. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. What a glorious day when God, when we come before Him faultless, in the presence of His glory by our Lord Jesus Christ. We're already there in Him. Cause to rejoice. Let's pray.